the folk tradition that comes out of Vatican City here initially. 106.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Jesus is the Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to his name. Spread the good news.
This doesn't look like it doesn't have guitar chords, but this is really Spanish Peter, Paul, and Mary for the Eucharist here. This is the first stanza.
Una espiga dorada por el sol del racimo que corta el viñedor se convierte en amor y pan y vino de amor. En el cuerpo y la sangre del Señor.
Any of you sung this? Just hum along the melody, okay? I'll sing a stanza, you can hum along the melody.
She's a sun turned golden by the sun. Grapes and bunches cut down and ripe and red. Heart converted into the bread and wine of God's God. Body and blood of our dear Lord.
Join in as you like.
We are sharing the same communion bread. We are wheat by the same great sower soul. Like a middle stone that grinds us down with sorrow and pain. But God makes us new people out by the
favorite stanzas, number 3.
Like the grapes which become one the same whole load, like the notes that are woven into song, like the droplets of water that are lifted in the sea, we as Christians one body shall become. At God's table together we as God's children, Christ's body we will share. One same hope we will sing together as we walk along. Brothers, sisters, and like love will be. One same hope we will sing together as we walk along. Brothers, sisters, in life and love will be.
Catholics got to singing all of a sudden under Pope John the 23rd and Vatican II. It took about 500 years to get them together again. And I don't think we're going to wait 500 years for the next one. I think it's been things are kind of speeding up a little bit. When we look at this particular song and its gift to the church, there's a lot of things in most any hymnal that comes out now that come from this stream. You may not always recognize it from there because it's very much of it is quite ecumenical in spirit. For example, the Marian songs don't make it, in Baptist hymnals and that kind of thing, but a lot of other ones do, especially on certain themes in the sacraments. The first song we sang, Hallelujah, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord, would probably be sung as a song coming forward for Eucharist. You wouldn't want to have a hymnal with you. It's a little awkward to do all that stuff up there with hymnals in your hands. But you'd want to be able to sing. And so that refrain would be sung by everyone. But a cantor or a choir would pick up the stanzas. And then you would join back in the refrain. And indeed, you were singing the refrain almost before you opened your book as you came back from the table. So the actual liturgical practice helped shape the kind of structure of the song. We're going to look at the structures a little bit later, but the structure of the song around the refrain form. Of course, the Catholics had been from antiphons and psalmody and things of that nature before, so it wasn't a new form. And this would be, of course, a great song that Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord during the Eastertide season. And there's a lot of simple language, but deep theological concepts that are part of that song. You're buried and raised with Christ in your baptism. Of course, they would have had the vigil. And what happens during the Easter vigil? One of the things happens is baptism. And increasingly, in a number of places, you can actually be immersed. Or at least effusion, a lot of water. I'll put it that way. More than most Methodist Presbyterians use. That kind of thing is possible. Then in Una Espiga, coming from Spain, Cesario Gavarain, a Catholic priest with a real musical gift, comes to Vatican II, and all of a sudden they need to sing, and they don't have anything to sing. So one of the things he did, for example, back in the 70s, some of his early songs were actually the melodies of African-American spirituals, because they were quite popular in Europe. Choirs from the States would come over, and they would often do a set. And then he would put texts to them that were totally different. Totally different. One of the Spanish hymnal has one of his, the text is, music is, my Lord, what a morning, my Lord, what a morning. But it starts off, juntos, together we gather in Christ's name. very different, but the melodies were quite single. Then he started writing his own. This is a great example of immediate post-Vatican II theology when the real sense of ecumenism was felt across the board. And notice how it starts off with images of the scene there. If you've been in Spain, you can see vineyards. You can see these, and you become aware that the elements that we take are a combination of God's gift of nature, but the work of humans to bring that to the table. And so he uses a technique in hymnology or poetry we call hypotyposis, which is not about bad breath or anything. It's creating a mental image in your mind. Sheaves of summer, golden in the sun, grapes in bunches, ripe. You can just see it. And then they're converted into the body and blood of Christ for ourselves. And then he continues this idea. He said, when you grind that wheat, it's kind of like how life grinds us down. But even in that grinding down process, we become new people in God. A beautiful image of the body of Christ. We come together, ground down, but new people because of what we've experienced together in the strength of the body of Christ. I think this is workable pretty much across the Christian spectrum here. Then that wonderful third stanza where he takes a simile and he just beautifully, like the grains that make up a loaf. Of course, that goes back to the Didache. I'm sure Lester will talk to you about these kind of things. So I just wanted to tell Lester was not in vain. And so it goes back to the Didache, you know, this one of the images from there. So it's not just a by chance image. They're reaching back. Like the notes that make up a melody. An individual note doesn't do a lot for you. But when they're woven together, as he's saying, this melody is beautiful. And how individual drops make up the sea. By the way, that could also have overtones of a baptismal reference, the water that makes up the baptismal font. So lots of imagery there. And then, we as Christians, one body shall become. That wasn't just saying we as Catholics in this particular case. There was a real sense back then, and we'll see another one in a minute, where there was a real sense of ecumenism. Now, it's not quite as strong. In some circles, regretfully, ecumenism has become a dirty word. But I think also it's maturing. It's not just the idea that Catholics and Methodists can get together. It's a maybe deepening much more in terms of what we can share in life of Christ. Now the last stanza is very essential because it's eschatological. The Gran Fiesta in Espanol, that meal we all celebrate together. And indeed, that becomes part of the theological rationale for this, of why we are one body. We're all going to be together around one table. Let's get used to it now. A little realized eschatology. And it's a reminder of a shift in Eucharist theology that a lot of us Protestants are still reticent to embrace. It's not just perpetual Maundy Thursday. It is a shift that this is also, yes, it is Maundy Thursday too, but the Last Supper was not the Last Supper. If we hadn't had those post-resurrection meals, we wouldn't even be sitting here. So don't label it the Last Supper. It was a supper before Christ died, but thank God there were other suppers afterwards. There were other meals. I had a chance to preach. I don't get a chance to preach that often, but I had a chance to preach on the Emmaus Road this year. It was just wonderful. There's an example of that kind of thing. So, where in our celebrations of communion, our Lord's Supper, is that sense of the future meal together? Or are we only focusing on the past? We live, we have worship together. We have this little space of time here. And in our own capacities, in our congregations, we're custodians. You might say, we're the janitors in a long succession of people who have been responsible for the church's song, its worship, whatever, throughout history. But it's not just, quote, relevant. Time collapses. We're bringing our heritage, our deep memory, anamnesis, or anamnesis, whichever way you say that word, into that. We're not just remembering, we are reliving. And at the same time, there's prolepsis. We're anticipating something from the future. And so this is a very dynamic sense of time. A very dynamic sense of time. With energy, not just, here we are, today is today. No. Again, that's heresy. The church talks in a broader sense about these things. So this hymn, like so many, reminds us that this is a foretaste to mix my traditions, Fanny Crosby, with Spanish priest, foretaste of glory divine. And it's said beautifully in this one. There is a pedagogical issue that's a little tricky around this. You just don't take your hymnal and say, if you'll turn to 518, let's all stand and sing Luna Spiga. Again, that's a little bit tricky. So I think it's best introduced perhaps with a soloist or a choir maybe during communion, and then gradually it can become the people's song. Another thing that is done in Latin America, this is a Spain song, so in Latin America they like refrains a lot, and so they often repeat the last two lines so that it can be sung almost with a sense of refrain. But it doesn't look that friendly on the page. It looks more like... The accompaniment doesn't quite do it justice. This is really a relaxed semi-folk style. I call it like Spanish Peter, Paul, and Mary. That probably isn't. Gabarin was a fascinating fellow. He was a bicycler. And he would ride with all those long bicycle things they do in Europe. And he would ride with the bicyclists as a priest. And ministered to them, was taken from us way too early. He was just barely 50. He had just made a tour of the United States where his songs were being introduced, and then he died in the mid-90s, early 90s. But a tremendous gift. There's other ones. Some of you know, Lord, you have come to the lake shore. That's his song, one of his songs, perhaps his most famous one. So, let's look a little bit now that we've had a little taste. The sacraments, psalm settings are important. Of course, you had psalms. The psalter was spread throughout the Mass. It used to be an introit psalm, an offertory psalm, whatever. Sometimes, and those were replaced with hymns later for the congregation to sing. There still were, of course, psalms read in the lectionary or chanted. And again, just architecture-wise, historically, Catholic churches have had the choir and the organ in the back. And so this necessitated with Vatican II the office of the cantor, someone who would come down front and actually engage the people face-to-face in song. I think a lot of us could use the office of the cantor, not just a song leader. This is someone whose presence and countenance knows how to engage people in song. It's not just, I'm up here, sing along with me. It's a historical, classic office of the church. Some people just have that sense. And I would, you don't have to call it cantor. I call it in one of my books, the enlivener, someone who knows how to connect the people's story with the story of the big story, and enliven the congregation's voice. For some people, cantor has too much baggage. The World Council of Churches used the term animateur for quite a while, but that sounds like an English, like Walt Disney, animator. It works in French, but it doesn't work in English too well. So I use the term enlivener. But enlivener is someone who really knows how to help knead the body of Christ, K-N-E-A-D, the body of Christ into one body, by engaging them in song. And something to think about. Lectionary-based, of course. And the three-year rolling lectionary really took hold then across many mainline denominations as a result of this. They're not the same lectionary necessarily, but they have many commonalities. Refrain forms are very important. The Catholic Church didn't start off singing that many whole stanza hymns, five stanzas. It just wasn't in the DNA. And indeed, it's not until more recently that you get a number of writers who write in that. Many of the writers write in refrain forms. So it's a little bit more palpable. And there's been lots of writing, why Catholics can't sing and all sorts of things like that. I saw an article on Facebook, why men can't sing. That's a bunch of bull. It just depends on the priorities and the sense of the church and how one engages them pedagogically. Unless they're just prepping groups for me wherever I go, I'm convinced that men, when invited well, can sing. But it has to be a kind of a priority. Strong emphasis on community, or the term, of course, that's used in the Catholic context is assembly, because it's closest to the meaning of ecclesia, the gathered body of Christ, Quite diverse, folk, guitar, piano, organ, varieties of ethnicity. This stream could just run along and on. This is one with the cross currents are extremely diverse. Crossing the Mississippi River when it's a mile wide means you're going to encounter several sub-rivers and currents and cross currents and things that'll pull you under or whatever. But this is a very complex stream as such. So. Let's look at a few examples of those. One that is be a little bit more classically oriented. It's also in your hymnal. Here's the refrain up here. It is 2:521. This one would probably be played on the organ more. Thank you. congregation, this is the part they would learn.
You satisfy the hungry heart with the gift of finest meat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to be.
For just the, not because you can't sing it, you sing very well, but let me just sing a stanza to get a feel of the back and forth. You're coming forward for communion, okay?
As when the shepherd draws his sheep, they know and heed his voice. So when you call your family, Lord, we follow and rejoice. You satisfy the hungry heart with
stanzas with joyful lips, we sing to you our praise and gratitude that you should count us worthy to share this heavenly food. So clearly, a Eucharist, that gift of wheat, that finest wheat is code language for Didache. So part of this movement, this piety, is to go back and do away with some of the accretions that have come along and go back to roots. Back before there were Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants and this and that, to go back to the early church example. So that's kind of early church code language. Is not the cup we bless and share the blood of Christ outpoured? Actually, a quoting from the communion liturgy itself. Do not one cup, one loaf declare oneness in the Lord. Again, that's a primary image. I don't know about your experience, but growing up, I felt that the Lord's Supper was a very personal thing that we just happened to do together. And this kind of theology doesn't deny that, but it says this meal that we're sharing is shaping us into the one body. One body in Christ. And so it's interesting, in a lot of our communion liturgies say that, but especially sometimes older ministers use the funereal tone that subverts what's being said. You know what I mean? It's this big shift from this, you know, am I worthy? You know, the language I can remember from my childhood, once a quarter, let a man examine himself. I don't know what women were supposed to do, but let a man examine himself. And it was very much, I mean, a serious kind of thing. And some people didn't even take communion or wouldn't even show up on that Sunday. Now, I'm not saying that kind of self-examination is not important, but we're missing the chance to be shaped together. And this theology brings that to the forefront. Just don't tell them it's Catholic and they'll be just fine. And then this idea that the mystery. There's the Paschal mystery is the big thing here, okay? The mystery of your presence, no mortal tongue can tell. Even Calvin talked about the mystery of the sacraments. He didn't try to, as much as Calvin could write volumes, he didn't try to explain everything that happened in the sacraments. So is there a mystery there of what takes place? There's nothing in here about transubstantiation or other transes you can think of, or polys, or pans, or whatever it is, but even if we're very ordinance oriented, if there's not a hint of mystery, it's just a duty. Do you not feel something from having been together and shared this meal? It's not just, I hate the terms when they're put side by side, mere symbol. Those terms shouldn't be, at least in theology and in Eucharistic or liturgical practice, there's no such thing as a mere symbol, as if it's just a symbol. It's a way of embodying and giving a tangible sense to something we can't grasp. There's nothing mere about that. Now, certain traditions, my own, I'm a recovering Baptist, and I was talking to my Mennonite colleague who's one of my liturgy colleagues, and she said, you know, in our traditions, we bend over backwards to say, this is important, you must do it, but nothing's happening here. Yeah. Nothing's happening here. don't get No mystical stuff here. Nothing's happening. We're just doing it because Christ said to do it. Do this till I come. Don't ask questions. Just do it. And, well, there's a wide range of what we would call sacrament, I think, and I want to keep it that way. But, something's happening here. I hope so. The Spirit's among us. And these songs acknowledge that. You give yourself to us, O Lord, and selfless let us be to serve each other in your name in truth and charity. So we are sent out to do what? This isn't just a meal for the near and dear that are gathered. It's a meal that fuels us to love our neighbor, the twin commandments. So it's great theology. God wants you to sing this song. And one of them that's quite well known, I don't think that this one didn't make the Presbyterian hymnal. How many of you know One Bread, One Body? It's a great example. Very much the folk style of the time, 1970s. Let me get all my words up. But it's got some great, again, examples of Eucharistic theology. This is definitely a guitar song. And it's got this extended refrain, really with the stanzas being just bridges, theological bridges to this refrain. One bread, one body, one Lord, one cup of mercy which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we have one blood in this one Lord. And then we get a Galatians quote that the soloist or choir sings, Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord, one cup of mercy which we bless, and we hope and eat throughout. Quotes the Didache. Many the gifts, many the works, one in the Lord of all. For the sake of time, let me do the next one too. God grains for the fields, there it is again. Scattered and grown, gathered to one. In your congregation's life and in your celebration of the Lord's Supper, Communion, Eucharist, whatever you call it, would this song be a stretch? I think I want to go back to our little discussion of style. This folk style makes it perhaps a little more accessible. Now, it depends on, we want to come back to, we had a couple of good soundscape discussions here during break. But it depends upon what your normative soundscape is in your service. When I grew up, it was piano organ, and then during communion it was Hammond organ only, with lots of vibrato. Playing There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood, and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, hymns which I really loved a lot, but it was a certain soundscape. You know. Sunday night, though, had a different soundscape. I was playing tenor sax in the sax trio on Sunday night. Accordion in the accordion duo. All permissible. Sunday morning, never played my accordion Sunday morning. And many people were glad for that. But still, that was where, as young people, we weren't quite ready for prime time usually, but I knew I had made it when, as a boy soprano, for Mother's Day, I can still remember the moment. I think it was about 6 years old. Got his own doctor to nourish, etc. And that was my moment to shine. I had made it to prime time on Sunday morning. Now, Wednesday night, and the Sunday school assembly, those were the choruses. Those were the chorus times. So it depends on your soundscape, but I find that even a slight electrification of this, I think this kind of song could be used for communion in contemporary services. Maybe with a kind of bass or, you know, whatever. Wouldn't want a heavy track set, but, you know, that kind of thing. We can't leave out the Latino influence. And about this time, when the Vatican II said the genius of all races and cultures in its primary document, there's lots of people who took that really seriously. And so especially in you can see the date of this, the Missa Popular Nicaraguense, and there were other masses that were composed in the Latin American style. And all of a sudden, I can't look up page numbers and talk at the same time. All of a sudden, we got a little of the fiesta spirit. So this was a song that was designed to accompany the elements, the offering of the elements. It's kind of hard if you sung this song with the kind of spirit it has. And when I've seen it in certain contexts, it's not just walking down the aisle. There's a graceful dance, showing the elements. They're enjoying the journey all the way down there while the people are singing this song. And it, with this joy and all this kind of thing, it's hard to go into, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks, etc., etc. You've got to have delivery and speech that matches the energy of the song itself. Te ofrecemos, Padre nuestro, con el vino, el pan, el pan, nuestras penas, alegrías, el trabajo y nuestro pan, English or Espanol, whatever you want. Let us offer to the Father, with the bread and with the wine, all our joys and all our sorrows, all our cares, Lord, all our thine. Might sing as the growing wheat is ripened. Let us show to all the world we can grow and ripen also in the living of the Word. Que cosemos, Padre nuestro, con el vino, el pan, el pan, nuestras penas y alegrías, el trabajo y nuestro pan. Here's to the stanza. Let the poor and heavy laden gather at the Savior's sign, where their grief will turn to gladness as the grapes are pressed to wine. We get a comment of the kind of people who are coming to this gathering, the poor and heavy laden. From the country, from the city, from the riches of the land, we bring back to our Creator the gifts. So this is a reciprocal idea of the Eucharist. We're giving back to God what God has given to us. These ideas never occurred to me in communion growing up. It was a different time. But and you can see where there is actually an ecology of Eucharist that comes out of some people. What kind of gifts are we giving back? What has God given us and what are we doing to it? We'll explore that theme tomorrow at the end of the day. All your people here together bring you offerings of love, joining with your whole creation, seeking liberty and peace. So it's a little bit of liberation theology, which of course has much of its roots in that part of the world. So this, and these are people who've been through a lot. These are people people who've been through a lot. And so they can't separate the idea of being reconciled at this table and not hoping for reconciliation in their country. So you get a little bit of that kind of feel. Let's try that refrain one more time. Live dangerously. Try it in Spanish.
Retrocedemos, Padre nuestro, con el vino y con el pan, nuestras penas, alegrías, entre pavo y nuestro pan.
Oh, I'm proud of you. That's quite good. One more time.
Retrocedemos, Padre nuestro, con el vino y con el pan, nuestras penas, alegrías, entre pavo y nuestro pan.
Well, what happens when an African American gets a hold of you, for instance, a Catholic African American? I can guarantee you it might be a little different. So James Moore, one of the well-known writers in the post-Vatican II context, gives us this song. And in many hymnals, only the refrain is printed because the stanzas are extremely soloistic. They just wouldn't be done. So again, that idea of the refrain, at least initially, being for the congregation and the stanzas being for the cantor or the choir or whatever. For example, how many of you know, how did I get to that? Count.
Is it I, Lord? I have heard you.
Of course, I thought it was such a good refrain, it must have been a Baptist hymn, but it's a Catholic hymn. Uh-huh. And it's got two kinds of eyes. The voice of God in the stanza, and our response from Isaiah uh-huh. in the second. And so to sing both, you have to be somewhat schizophrenic. But it's not bad to sing them both, don't get me wrong. But it's an original form, it was really intended to be, I, the Lord of earth and sky, we're listening, and finally, here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? And we join in our voice at that point. So that's just to keep you awake. And so that kind of back and forth is really quite helpful. So, let me get my little thing. My gospel, black gospel piano playing leaves a lot to be desired, so just imagine what it could be. Certainly the stained glass would have cracked if we'd done that during communion. But again, it brings a whole different package to it. And it brings that kind of ecstatic praise from this tradition. Yet the refrain makes it easier for us all to get together. And it's scriptural. So, the music itself, though, sets the tone for what kind of celebration this is. Not an observance, but a celebration. Now, I've heard this done in a lot of congregations, but I really haven't heard it done except one time in a real gospel style. It sort of came off Neo-Palestrina, because we were really afraid. But if you look at the written part here, it's a definite solo park, and it is just really the interstate highway, and you're supposed to get off of that. especially with the solo part. But I think it's a really rich kind of experience and stream to kind of to work with, and there's a lot of things. For example, a number of the songs from this stream, I think, could really enhance the contemporary Christian service that doesn't observe the Eucharist much, and could fit into that. Let me, here's one that's Ricky Mantlo, who's quite... A really rich source for us, especially around communion, if we're going to at least mix in memorial with hope and celebration in some way.